Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Monday, March 13th, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, we will discuss WrestleMania season, the Warrior Award winner, Impact Wrestling versus the Hardys, and we'll look ahead to tonight's WWE Raw. On ProWrestling.net today, the latest lineup for WrestleMania. If you haven't checked it out yet, my FTNA blog from Saturday morning, plus full results of the Madison Square Garden house show that featured Brock Lesnar against Kevin Owens for the first time, and more. Raw tonight is in Detroit, Michigan at Joe Louis Arena. WWE is advertising Sheamus and Cesaro against Enzo Amore and Big Cass, with the winners getting a tag title shot at WrestleMania. For what it's worth, Brock Lesnar advertised locally. He's been making some post-Raw dark main event, or dark, not even match, just post-Raw appearances where he roughs up Big Show. But with this being WrestleMania stretch drive, it wouldn't surprise me to see him on the show. You can join me for live coverage tonight of Raw as the show airs on USA Network, 7 Central, 8 Eastern as always. And we'll talk a little bit later on in this show about what I'm looking forward to on tonight's WWE Raw. As far as my big hope for tonight's Raw, I want them to really create the WrestleMania vibe. The first hour and change last week, I thought did a really good job. It was hot. And then things kind of cooled off after, I think it was it the Goldberg-Brock Lesnar segment? Then it just kind of felt like a standard edition of Raw until the final segment, which had Undertaker and Roman Reigns. You know, during a good WrestleMania season, I wake up Monday morning just kind of anxious to see what the storyline developments are going to be and wait for those match announcements. I don't think the build has been bad so far, but I can't say, like, today I woke up feeling really excited for Raw tonight. I think as we get closer to it and maybe they announce something else, I'll start feeling a little bit more excited about it. But yeah, I really want them just to create that feel that it is WrestleMania season. I think that's it's not completely absent, but I don't feel as strongly as I do most years. WWE at MSG yesterday, New York, featured that first Kevin Owens and Brock Lesnar match, and it did go the way you would expect, with Lesnar going over clean. The show also featured Bray Wyatt against John Cena for the WWE Championship. Shane McMahon returned to MSG, brought a couple of his sons along with him. He also set up a Randy Orton and AJ Styles match. We also had the MSG debut of Asuka, who worked an eight-woman tag match. And does that qualify Asuka for the SmackDown roster? Does that make her eligible for the Women's Championship match at WrestleMania? Honestly, truth on that one is, they're going to do whatever they want. So, I mean, they could point to this if they want to and say that, yeah, she's a regular roster member. But even if this match had never taken place, they could have just said, hey, she's the newest member of the roster, if they want to introduce her in that manner at WrestleMania and have her take part in the women's match. All is quiet today as I record this on the Hardys and Anthem and Impact Wrestling Battlefront. With Rebbe Hardy having access to Twitter, that can change at any moment. I get down on social media at times, as my Facebook followers can attest to, because I think once every couple of years I'll tweet that my New Year's resolution is to update Facebook more. And I know at the time, like, yeah, I'll never live up to this resolution. I'm more of a Twitter guy, at ProWrestlingNet. So as much as I can get down on social media at times, God bless Twitter for providing the weekend entertainment of Rebbe tearing Anthem and Impact Wrestling Management to shreds. Her latest tweet, again, as I record this, is beautiful morning and already beautiful news. Her previous tweet was rather ominous. Just wait until business hours. Now, I take that to mean that the Hardys are going to be probably responding from legal standpoint. Sadly, for our entertainment value, I do assume that once the lawyers start to get involved in this thing, they're going to want everyone involved to be, you know, go into radio silence mode on this matter. I don't know that Rebbe's going to be able to hold back, but we'll see. Of course, you know, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, Anthem trying to claim ownership of the Broken Universe. They even went so far as to send legal letters to some of the major satellite and, I assume, cable companies as well. Dish Network actually responded by pulling the Ring of Honor 15th anniversary pay-per-view on Friday night. Unreal. The FTNA blog that I referred to earlier kind of gives my in-depth take on the matter. But I'll just, you know, to paraphrase, it's essentially that, yeah, whether Anthem legally has ownership of the Hardy universe or not, I just don't think this is a battle worth fighting. I just think it's causing so much bitterness with fans. And I have heard from defenders who, you know, basically readers in the comment section and some emailers Most of them want to point to things like WWE not letting Cody Rhodes use his last name, and there's some other examples of other promotions. I did mention that, and another one in Friday night, my ROH audio review. There's companies that make dick moves all the time, but the majority of the defenders just seem to be taking the two or three or even four wrong, somehow make it right for Anthem. And again, it's not, maybe Anthem is in the right from a legal standpoint. I don't know that morally they necessarily are, because I think everyone knows it's Matt Hardy's brainchild. This has been his baby. As much as I wish, for instance, this whole Cody thing, yeah, I wish WWE would do right by the guy. I think it's ridiculous that they can't just sign over the Rhodes family name to him, even at a small fee. Still, I don't understand the difference, though. WWE can and already has withstood the backlash. They're the industry leader, and being a-holes about, Cody and using the family name isn't going to cost them any noticeable way in terms of their business is concerned. On the other hand, Impact Wrestling, they're trying to sell its viewers on this being, the latest example of change, but change for the better. And new management has taken over, hired some familiar faces to run the company, and now the answer to the fans was one of the things that Dutch Mantel talked about in his promo on Impact, and they're going to treat talent with respect and all this other stuff. And less than 24 hours after that grand relaunch of new TNA, or I guess, but we're going to stop saying TNA, but Impact Wrestling, they made a move that has kind of just turned a large number of fans against them already. It's amazing. It's like you can take Dixie Carter out of TNA, but you can't take the TNA out of Impact Wrestling. I don't even know if that's a great way to put it, but it's this company has had so many PR issues over the years, and so I think while they may feel like, well, from a legal standpoint, we're right, I just my contention continues to be, I don't think it's a battle worth fighting. You're the bad guys. You look at whether you feel that way or not, whether you feel like, well, hey, legally, we're in the right. You look like the bad guys in the eyes of the majority of fans right out of the gate. That's not what you want to do when you are still, attempting to rebrand yourself and try to make yourselves into, hey, we're actually, we're good people now. That evil Dixie is out of power, but we're good people. Not a good start. But I definitely encourage you to check out my piece on the whole FTNA blog. You'll kind of get a better feel for why I named it that and all sorts of stuff. And feel free to check out the comment section, because I did hear from some TNA fans in there. One thing I gotta say, I know, and I'm not saying everyone who commented falls into this category by any means, but there is. There's, and it's not just TNA. I've never understood, though, the team mentality when it comes to watching pro wrestling. Like, you are a fan of one promotion, and therefore you don't like the others. I didn't. I mean, the AWA was based here. I had a little bit of home team mentality to them, I guess. Like, you wanted them to do well, but it didn't mean I wasn't watching the WWF, World Class Championship Wrestling, Jim Crockett Promotions, the UWF, all this other programming we had thrown at us. Of course I did. I've just never really quite understood that whole mentality that it's one promotion and everyone else is the enemy. And there is some of that seems to exist with some diehard TNA fans. And I mean, I guess it's good for Impact. But somebody today even just said, why should TNA, I'm paraphrasing here, but the idea was that, why should TNA do a favor to fans of other promotions? Like, because those fans aren't like you. I don't even know if this person falls into that category, to be fair. But it's like, just because some fans watch pro wrestling with this home team mentality that it's my promotion, this is the one I'm backing, doesn't mean everyone else does. And so what you're doing is you're saying, these fans of other promotions, they're wrestling fans. Are there just diehard Ring of Honor fans who don't like anything else? Well, maybe. I'm sure there probably are, but I think they're just so small in number. It's your wrestling fans that you're catering to. It's wrestling fans that you're worried about. It's fans out there who enjoy the professional wrestling genre and therefore can become TNA, Impact Wrestling fans. I mean, it's just, to me, it's common sense, but no sign on Anthem budging on this just yet. We'll see if it seems like they've kind of dug their heels in and they just believe from a legal standpoint they're right, and to hell with the critics, and it doesn't matter if we look bad now. I don't know. We'll see if they change their tune on this. Switching gears, on Monday, WWE announced that Eric LeGrand, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is the recipient of the 2017 Warrior Award, which will be presented as part of the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony. Remember, that's on a Friday this year. They moved NXT TakeOver to Saturday, the Hall of Fame taking place on the Friday. It'll be March 31st this year for the Hall of Fame. LeGrand played for Rutgers University. He suffered a spinal injury. He's been paralyzed from the neck down. Somebody kind of told me last week that they thought this would be happening, and I watch a ton of NFL football. I can't say I watch a lot of college football, and so I may have heard of this story, but I can't say I have great familiarity with it. And yeah, hey, it's cool. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with Eric LeGrand being recognized. I'm not sure exactly what the connection is there with WWE. It sounds like they're doing some work together or something. Joan London is someone that they gave the award to. And certainly Conor Mahalik. That was a cool moment. I still wish that WWE would honor what Warrior actually wanted. He wanted a Jimmy Miranda Award. He wanted them to recognize someone who works behind the scenes and doesn't get credit. And I, you know, so it's like with all due respect to the award winners, this isn't in the spirit of what Warrior was asking for. If you go back and watch his speech, and I just wish that WWE, if they want to have their Warrior Award like this, okay, but how about coming up with another award to, you know, to actually honor what Warrior requested? Dana Warrior will be there to present the award again. I wonder what she thinks of this. You know, I don't know if she's been asked, like, this isn't what your husband wanted. Is, you know, how do you feel about that? I'd be very curious to know what Dana has to say about that. Not that they're not, you know, awarding good people and all of that. I mean, the Conor Mahalik one was certainly brought a tear to the eye and everything. But, you know, I mean, it's disappointing that there are all these people that work behind the scenes in WWE that you would think the company would, or at least should, give some recognition to, but instead they end up going with, in two out of three cases now, more mainstream people who don't have that well-known connection to, yeah, it's like Joan London appeared on Raw, and it was a nice moment and all, and, yeah, but it's just, it feels like they're basically in two out of three cases now using celebrities. It's done to get some mainstream attention. Whether that's the goal behind it or not, it just feels like, no, the right thing to do. Again, you can do both, but the right thing to do if you got to pick and choose is to go ahead and award somebody that works for your company, that deserves the recognition that they never get, because WWE keeps so many things like that quiet. You know, just so many people work behind the scenes in that company that do deserve something. .NET members are going to be listening to my Q&A audio show a little bit later on today. They will also hear my Raw audio review later tonight. They are currently listening to Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed discussing the Progress Wrestling Chapter 44 show. They're also hearing my audio review of Friday night's Ring of Honor pay-per-view event. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of the website, all you have to do is visit the main page at prowrestling.net. Click on the sign-up area. Once you're in there, three different pricing options will be available to you. $7.50 will get you in the door for 1 month. That's $7.50. If you want to save yourself some money, though, either the six-month or annual option will bring that price down. In fact, as I like to remind you, that annual option brings the price down to $5.50 per month. Hell of a deal. And it's a great time to sign up, obviously, with WrestleMania season here. And treat yourself. Enjoy all the perks of .NET membership, including that Q&A audio show later today. The .NET weekly audio show last week, Hayden Gleed and I got together and discussed all the news of the week and so much more. All the major television shows and pay-per-view events reviewed in audio form. We would love to have you sample what we do. Again, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net and click into that sign-up area. And it just takes a matter of a minute or two, unless you're really kind of slow. And then, well, maybe it'll take you longer. But I don't think so. I have a feeling you're a good, bright person, and you can figure that out pretty quickly. As for tonight's WWE Raw, here are a few things that I'm going to be looking for on the show, as we like to do. We talk about this on Mondays. Number one, we're going to see the television return of Finn Balor. He returned to the ring on Friday night in Buffalo for a six-man tag match. Triple H and Kevin Owens on the other side of that. If he does return, and I guess Samoa Joe, I think, was the other one. I should mention the third person in that. But if he does return, Are they going to rush him into a WrestleMania program? I think the one that people point to most is Samoa Joe. As I've said, I'm kind of down on the idea of Balor against Joe. They both need wins, and it just kind of it's. I know they've done their thing in NXT and all of that, but I just want to see Joe in ass kicker mode. How about this? And I doubt this will fly, but how about we just go with a tag match? How about Rollins and Balor against Hunter and Samoa Joe? Joe could be protected as the badass. Hunter can take the pin that he was probably going to take anyway if he worked a singles match with Rollins. And yeah, I mean, there's the question, what about Rollins and Balor? Rollins is the guy that injured Balor. Easy to cover. You know, they talked. They actually bonded over this. Rollins may have been a jerk at the moment, but they've had long conversations because they're both coming back from major injuries. Or if you want to kind of leave it open, you could even have the authority, if you will, book the match. And then you have the question, can Rollins and Balor coexist? And I think either way you'd have that question. And I think you'd even have some people going, Hunter is teaming with Joe. He's also aligned with Kevin Owens. Balor, he led a club at one time. Boy, he'd be a good fit for that. A lot of different ways you could go about it, but I kind of like the tag match idea. I don't know how realistic it is, but I do like it. Number two, which team becomes number one contenders for the Raw tag titles? This isn't really in order. I can't say I feel strongly about this one. My guess is we're going to get a triple threat at WrestleMania with both Sheamus and Cesaro and the other team of Big Cass and Enzo both challenging Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson for the Raw tag titles. I actually want to see, normally I talk about what I want to see on the show, but in this case, I'm actually curious to see what they're actually going to promote going into the night show, because right now, this is it. That's the only thing they're promoting on this show is the number one contenders match for the tag title. I'm sorry, that's not enough. You got to give us a little bit more. You want to get people excited about this show. You got to go with something a little bigger, don't you? There's got to be some late push coming. I just don't think that the hyping number one contenders, a match we've already seen for a flat tag division, is going to bring people in. Next up, though, how do they follow up the Undertaker and Roman Reigns angle? And for that matter, the Braun Strowman angle that kind of preceded that. As I mentioned, I thought Strowman came off like he was showing Taker respect when he left the ring. He wasn't being the typical heel, backing down from the babyface and kind of slamming his hand on the mat. There was none of that. He just nodded at him, and he left the ring. Seemed like he was being respectful. Where does he fit into this? Is it as simple as WWE announcing Taker and Reigns in a singles match, and then they put Strowman in the Battle Royal? I'm not sure, but curious to see what the follow-up is. Also, I want to see how they pace Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Keep in mind, they have tonight and then two more editions of Raw to go before WrestleMania, and I think it's important to pace this out so that it feels like the feud is at its peak going into WrestleMania. I mean, slight concern that they could peak too soon, but I do have more faith with the two guys involved. Obviously, Jericho has a lot of stroke within the company, and just being a savvy veteran like he is, I think I do have some faith in these guys that they're going to find ways to really do what they do for the next couple of weeks, but then have this really boil over going into the go-home show so that you're left really anxious to see the match. I think that's important, and I'm genuinely curious to see how they execute that. I guess one thing that I hope for, too, is that they're actually able to make the U.S. Championship feel meaningful along the way. Right now it's Owens, Jericho cost Owens his championship. Now he wants to do the same to Jericho. Let's find a way to prop up the U.S. Championship that really hasn't meant much since John Cena was taking open challenges. Also, to close things out here, I like to joke about what's next for Emma or Emelina, but this time around, I got to admit, I'm a little curious. Do they bring her back as the cop shade wearing heel tonight after just that one video package tease? I've already said I'd be fine with them kind of just doing this whole video package teaser through WrestleMania and even the night after WrestleMania. I think that would be more than enough time to irritate everybody like they did with the Emelina teases, and it seems to be some of the fun for them. But it would bring her back not the night after WrestleMania, but the week after. because that night after WrestleMania is just such a crowded show, you know, and you tend to see some NXT call-ups and things, and I think she'd just be completely lost in the shuffle. That said, I don't know how much they actually care about the Emma character. I might be thinking about it even more than they are at this point, but I still think it they could surprise me by working her back into the mix right away, even tonight, if they just won teasers enough. After all this, Emelina is coming, they're premiering soon, and now back to the Emma thing. I hope they do right by her, because it's been just a long mess of teases that led to nothing, and I think she has shown she's a talented individual. Hey, finally today, please help us spread the word about this podcast. Take a moment and subscribe to the podcast, and also to rate and review us on iTunes. When I put out that Twitter link, again, at Pro Wrestling Net is the Twitter address, take a moment and retweet it. Anything like that will help us with the show. Obviously, when you give us a rating on iTunes or you're retweeting, you are helping spread the word about ProWrestling.net and our All Access Daily podcast. I will be back tomorrow. Not sure exactly the format yet, but I will be back tomorrow, most likely with the way we normally do things on Tuesday with my WWE Raw hit list, and we'll have a lot of Raw discussion. We'll look ahead to SmackDown and 205 Live. So until then, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Take care.